Amen. Good to see Brother Gerald Daniel back in the song-leading saddle. I think this is the first time he's led in some time. And he's back. We certainly appreciate your directing us with the enthusiasm with which you always direct us. And we appreciate the congregation for singing joyfully and cooperatively with you. And we appreciate that. We appreciate the enthusiasm with which the congregation sings. Not all congregations exhibit that kind of zeal and that kind of enthusiasm in singing songs of praise to God. We are thankful for your meaningful and faithful involvement. It's certainly good to see each of you who have returned, that we might continue and conclude our worship service on this Lord's Day. We are getting ready for, planning for a successful orientation and training session for our ministries. That's going to take place on next Saturday. Well, I won't say next Saturday, this Saturday. This Saturday, the 26th. And all of those who signed up to be involved in various ministries, we would like to encourage you to be making plans, making preparations to be here on Saturday. We don't look to hold you long. We want to look at getting everything we need to get done between 9 a.m. and noon. 9 a.m. and noon at the latest. I'm walking down here because I have something I want to share with you. I'm not going to share it in detail now, but I want you to know that these are available. What I have here, and there's information on both sides, and I'll have them on the table so you can get them or get a copy of what we have here. Is called Ministry Summaries. Ministry Summaries for each of our ministry areas: education ministry, personal evangelism, community outreach, mentoring, soul conservation, which includes the Brothers Keepers program, also marketing, media, and social media. Gives you some concise descriptions of what these ministries involve. And we have the worship ministry, building and grounds ministry, audiovisual ministry, safety and security ministry, bereavement and encouragement ministry. We had more people sign up for bereavement and encouragement than any other ministry. We had just about 30 individuals who signed up for this ministry, then family ministries. But we'll have copies of these on the table in the lobby so you can get a copy and become more familiar with what is involved in working in each of these particular ministries. I'd appreciate you getting a copy. Turn now to our scripture lesson, a familiar passage. We're just focusing our attention on the last two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul has focused his attention very much on the resurrection, Christ's resurrection, and then our resurrections. And of course, our resurrection presupposes the fact that we're going to die. But Christians don't have to let that disturb them. No matter what happens in our lives, we have the assurance that God is going to be with us, and God is going to help us to be victorious. So we can pledge and repledge our faithfulness and our fidelity to Him. I'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this evening, end, that is I-N, to the end, E-N-D, end to the end. And what this says is that I am in this Christian life committed to remain faithful to the end. I am in, and I would like to think in terms of I am all in to the end. When Hillary Clinton was running for president in 2016, in her campaign, one of her slogans was, "In it to win it." Y'all remember that? She said, "I'm in it to win it. I'm not just passing time. I'm not just spinning my wheels. I'm not just engaging in an exercise of futility. I mean business. And I'm going to try my level best to win this race." She fought a good fight. She put forth a good effort. Was unfortunately, she was unable to win it, but her spirit of commitment was such that she made her pledge of loyalty. She said, "I am in it to win it." All of us should be in the Christian life to win the ultimate victory. We shouldn't be messing around. We shouldn't be playing around. We shouldn't be half-stepping. We need to be in it to the end. And we need to be like Hillary, in it to win it. And Paul gives us some assurance in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. He's indicated prior to verse 57 that we have things going for us. We don't have to worry about the sting of death or the grave having the victory. We have already been declared winners if we'll just hang in there. Verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." See, God gives us the victory, and He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory courtesy of Jesus Christ, His Son. It has been stated that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We mention periodically from Isaiah 26 and verse 3 in reference to faithfulness and steadfastness, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee." If we can maintain our trust in God, if we can fully invest our trust in God, then we realize that we are assured the victory. Some of the guys who were in a tough battle in the NFL because they want to go to the Super Bowl. And I'm sure that the teams that are playing today, their concept of sportsmanship is we're in it to win it. Somebody's going to lose. And of course, somebody's going to win. I don't know if Gary's team is going to win or not, or even if he has a favorite in the contest. But they are committed. They are determined to get the victory, to gain the victory. And of course, they do it for temporal rewards. We do what we do for eternal rewards. And we want to always keep in mind that there are rewards for us. We don't have to act as if we are not really in this for the reward, for what we can get out of it. Of course, we are in it because of our love for the Lord. We are in it because of our commitment to His cause. We are in it because of our own personal interest. We want to be saved. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. I want my family to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want us to go to heaven. And we are striving to do that. One of the fundamental, foundational concepts of faith is articulated in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And we've been knowing this for years. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As we live life from day to day, we want to be in the process of diligently seeking Him, seeking to please Him. That's why Paul could say, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. We have to constantly press forward. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already made it possible. He's already assured us of victory. And because of that, because we have been assured of victory, victory has virtually been guaranteed by the Lord, we can take consolation, we can be greatly encouraged by the message of verse 58. Inasmuch as the victory has already been guaranteed and assured, in view of that, he says, therefore, and whenever you see therefore, you need to pause and ask the question, what is it therefore? This therefore is here to emphasize the fact that because God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, in view of this reality, in view of this fact, therefore, my beloved brethren, and it's wonderful to be known as a beloved brother. It's wonderful to be known as a beloved sister, a beloved son, a beloved child. We are beloved. We are beloved of God and we are beloved of each other. Be steadfast. Steadfast gives reference to being devoted, being loyal, being firmly fixed in place. Being steadfast means not subject to change, firm in belief, determination, or adherence. So he says, be steadfast, but not only be steadfast, he also admonishes, be immovable. When we think about something that is immovable, we think about something that is fixed firmly in place, not able to be changed or persuaded, incapable of being moved. Abraham told me an interesting incident which happened while he was in the army. He was standing in front of a young man's locker in the barracks, and the young man, who was kind of short, but he was well built, he said, "Move out from in front of my locker." And Abraham, who's about 6'4 or 6'5, he said, "Move me." That wasn't a good challenge. That wasn't a good challenge. And I don't think Abe would mind me telling you this, but when he said, "Move me," no quicker said than done, that young fellow, who was very stout, had legs like fence posts, he grabbed Abe, lifted him up, and moved him out of the way. Abe was thinking, "I didn't anticipate that." Yeah, he didn't think that fellow was that tough. But Abe wanted to be immovable. He wanted to stand fast in his place. He wanted to be unyielding. But that young man moved him. Now, there are certain forces in our lives as Christians that will tend to move us away from our steadfastness. Yeah, trials and tribulations can move us if we are not careful. Illnesses can move us if we are not careful. Financial losses can move us away from faithful adherence to God. Sometimes troubles and trials and sicknesses can move us away from God and away from faithfulness. Paul had the spirit of faithfulness as exemplified and seen in Acts 20 and verse 24. Folks were trying to get Paul to not go to Jerusalem. They knew that trouble awaited him there. Persecution was waiting for him. And in verse 24 of Acts chapter 20, Paul, who was aware of all of the things that could possibly happen, notice what he declares. He said, "But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He said, "Glory, hallelujah! I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved." Now, my question is, what does it take to move you? What does it take to push you off course? What does it take for you to throw in the towel? Paul said, "I shall not be moved." Paul was steadfast in his faithful devotion, immovable. But not only was he steadfast and immovable, but he was also committed to abounding or to increasing in the work of the Lord. He was not going to allow circumstances or persons or suffering or sacrifice to move him away, but he was going to be constantly involved in the work of the Lord. And I hope we can cultivate and maintain that same kind of spirit, that same kind of attitude when it comes to participation in and involvement in our particular areas of ministry, as well as in our faithful living for God each day. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, not until death, but if it leads to your death. That's what unto death. What we need to be faithful until death. Till is an adverb of time, signifying at what point or when. But we are commanded, we are admonished to be faithful unto death if it kills us, if it results in our being sacrificed on the altar of service for the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing, that is, having the assurance. And if we can understand this and if we can keep this uppermost in our minds, it will do a great deal to strengthen us. Knowing, not guessing, not hypothesizing, not assuming, but knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Make sure your labor is in the Lord. If it's in the Lord, if you are steadfast, if you are immovable, if you're always abounding, ever increasing in fruitful and productive service, you have the assurance that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The lesson is yours. If you're here, you have been faltering, you have been weak, you have been vacillating, you have been hesitating, you have been procrastinating, and you have not really been faithful and diligent in so far as service to the Lord is concerned, or you've not necessarily been faithful in your life each and every day.